The Canada, Newfoundland and Labrador Offshore Petroleum Board is formally investigating the largest oil spill in the province's history. An estimated 250,000 litres of oil spilled into the ocean during one of the worst storms in the offshore since the 1982 Ocean Ranger disaster. Scott Tessier is the CEO of the CNLOPB. He joins me live this morning. Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Patty.
Have we been able to fully assess the damage at this point?
At this point, the ROV survey was completed late yesterday. The ROV indicated that there was an issue with the weak link on the flow line. That indicates or more or less confirms that we're looking at what's referred to as a batch spill, 250 cubic meters or 250,000 liters or 1,570 barrels remains the estimate. There's no sheen on the water as of yesterday. We believe 5 to 6 oiled birds have been spotted to date. No marine mammals have been spotted, and we've had great cooperation from the National Environmental Emergency Center, the Canadian Coast Guard, Canadian Wildlife Service, DFO, and other government agencies that are working with us. We've had 7 overflights. We've had multiple vessels in the area. We've had government and industry observers on site, and we've initiated our investigation.
With the weather the way it was, what's the prospect of containing or recovering some of that oil?
As I noted, there was no sheen seen on the water yesterday. That indicates the oil has dissipated, which bodes very poorly for recovery.
So there's no more seepage at this point. What the 250,000 liters, that's the end, is it?
That's our understanding based on the ROV survey and the indication of the issue with the weak link on the flow line. That points to the cause, and that would indicate that we are looking at a batch spill. There is still oil remaining in the flow line that needs to be dealt with, but at this point it's reasonable to anticipate that the 250 cubic meters is the worst case scenario.
Help us understand the role of the regulator here. When it comes to a pending storm, is it up to you or up to the companies based on the agreements they have in place with the regulator and the government as to when they stop production?
The ultimate responsibility rests with the operators. Companies operate under operations authorizations issued by the CNLOPB. Those operation authorizations are underpinned by safety and environment plans, and it's the operator's responsibility to follow those plans. Those plans would dictate that an operator shuts in when it's not safe to produce.
So when they attempted to resume production at the Sea Rose FPSO, the winds were still 45 knots or thereabouts. The sea was maybe 9 meters or more. So given that and knowing that Husky not so long ago had an issue with the proximity to an iceberg when they didn't disconnect, is it time for the regulator to be in charge of when it is time to stop and when it is time to reconnect and to go again? Because if the company's left up to their own devices, they may indeed do what Husky did here, and the result is 250,000 litres of oil in the water.
What you're talking about there, Patty, would be a much different model of regulation than is seen anywhere in the world. We don't operate the facilities. Regulators all over the world don't operate the facilities. They provide regulatory oversight, and the operator is ultimately responsible for its actions.
So what happens when there is an accident like this, and they're responsible for their own actions, but of course someone has to be held responsible for what may indeed have been human error or a lapse in judgment for the type of weather that they were trying to resume production in? Where does the finger of blame or the repercussions land?
Absolutely. There's inherent risk in offshore operation. Thankfully, nobody was hurt in the terrible weather of last week. When we do have incidents such as this, we have investigation and enforcement tools at our disposal. The investigation is underway, and we'll be taking appropriate enforcement action once we've got the results of that investigation.
It may not be the authority of the regulator to say when they can resume production, but is there any conversation with the regulator and between the regulator and the company when they make the decision to go back and try to reconnect?
Certainly, we do have conversations with operators in the course of their operations. Ultimately, the responsibility is on them to make the decisions. Certainly, when we saw the issue with Husky, we fanned out to the operators and ensured that they were taking the proper checks and balances before restarting. Prior to resumption by Husky, we did send out an advisory to all the operators to do the necessary checks and balances and to make sure that they assess their facilities, their topsides, their subsea infrastructure before undertaking a resumption of operations.
And you mentioned that safety is key. People wonder aloud why some of the people weren't evacuated from any of the offshore production facilities. What's the issue surrounding evacuation, whether or not it's safer to leave them there or to try to get them off?
The calculation in a case like this is whether the anticipated impact of loading from a storm in this case would exceed the design criteria of the facilities. That was not the case, and in that situation, it's simply safer to ride out the storm on board the facilities.
People also wonder whether or not an FPSO is well-designed and geared towards what can be some pretty severe weather in our offshore.
We have different types of facilities operating in our offshore. The investigation will determine whether or not it was an issue with the FPSO. It certainly appears to be an issue with the subsea infrastructure and decision-making at this point.
What do you need so far as assurances or questions answered before production resumes?
Production has resumed on Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
So we've encouraged all the operators, or directed all the operators, to go out, make sure they do the checks of any damage that was incurred on topsides or subsea. In the case of the FPSOs, the Terra Nova is going to be deploying an ROV prior to resumption. Hebron's deployed an ROV to look at their offloading system. The other facilities, the GBS and the drill rigs, are going to have to do some additional checks, and those will be verified by us and the certifying authorities.
People will also wonder, and I do as well, about the offshore oil spill, the potential, and the type of resources available to react when and if something like this happens. What's the status?
So everybody has a spill response plan and spill response capability, and those are underpinning their environmental plans. That's a condition of their authorization to make sure that they have adequate resources at their disposal that can be deployed in a relatively quick time to make sure that they can mitigate the impacts of a spill.
Is there an opportunity, you'll hear the call, whether it comes from Jerry Rogers at the NDP and other members of the community, talking about independent oversight outside or in conjunction with the CNLOPB for environmental issues, including what we've seen here? We've talked about safety, and Dan Chicoine brought on to be the lead on that portfolio when we saw the Cougar 491 crash. What about independent oversight? Because the worry in some corners is that the CNLOPB is too cozy with the oil companies and maybe can't indeed enforce the regulations as people would like to see. What about independence?
Yeah, I mean, I reject the assertions that we're captured or independent. When I sit with our land tenure or industrial benefits people, I don't get a sense that they don't care about the environment or safety. Our chief safety officer and our chief conservation officer have very high degrees of autonomy, independence, and decision-making ability under the Atlantic Accord Implementation Acts. There's all sorts of governance models all over the world, Patty. Governance model does not equate risk-free. We've got separate agencies in Norway, the U.S., elsewhere. It doesn't equate to lack of incidents.
I appreciate making time for us this morning, Scott. When do you anticipate more answers before we know exactly what the aftermath is and what the likelihood of resumption and when it might be?
We'll be meeting with Husky at 9:30 this morning. I understand that Husky's going to be going out and speaking to the public today. We'll continue that dialogue with them and with our counterparts in other agencies, and we'll certainly make information available as we have it.
Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.